Children's church is dismissed at this time. I understand, and some of you are thinking that it's already late. I don't always think the way you think. But I want to let you know today that I only have one point. And that one point wraps up the message that I was preaching from last week. If you were here last week, you would know that what I preached was reconnecting with our creation and our Creator. And the absolute necessity of that has never been greater than at any other time, at least that I know of in my lifetime and possibly in the history of humanity. We have so distanced ourselves from God, our Creator, and our creation that we have easily made a disconnect and made it possible for us not to feel so responsible to our Creator. He is distantly removed by the teachings of the world and the secular point of view about creation. It is that it happened millions and billions of years ago, and it took millions and billions of years before it finally got to a place where it's like what we know it to be today. Because it took millions and billions of years for it to evolve and become more natural as we know it now. But we understand that as Christians, that teaching is not found in the Word of God anywhere. That teaching, as a matter of fact, I believe, is squarely out of the pit of hell. That teaching is false. It is wrong. It has no evidence hardly whatsoever. That teaching does not have any room in the place that we call church, in the hearts and lives of God's people. It is a view that is misled, and it, sadly, it is a view that has become incorporated in many churches and in many Christian schools across our nation. What we have done is that we have tried to find a way to mix the so-called teaching of science and how our world came about together with the teaching of Scripture. And in the late 1800s, we decided that, well, if science is going to teach that everything evolved from a little form and it got better and better and better as time went on, and things went from a dog to a cat or cat to a dog to another animal, and to the ape, and finally to the human being. That's the teaching of evolution, but it took millions and millions of years for it to evolve from one thing to another thing until finally you get the highest form of creation, a human being. But it took him millions of years to get to where he finally is complete as we know him now. That is foreign to Scripture. You see, the Word of God plainly teaches that man was created and the world and everything was created in 6 24-hour days. No separation, no long periods of time. But God, our Creator, in His infinite wisdom and in His power, had no problem speaking everything into existence, saying, "Let there be light," and there was. Saying, "Let there be water," and there was. Saying, "Let there be land," and there was. How long does it take for God to say something and it happened? if he plans on it happening immediately, it'll happen immediately. Can I get an amen? God said, let there be plant life, and there was. God said, let there be the fish in the sea, the mammals, and there was. And God said, let there be the land moving animals, and there was. And then day six, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And Genesis chapter 2, it gives a more detailed description of how God did that on day six. He scooped down and got some clay from the earth. I'm not sure if he got some of that Georgia red clay or some of the swamp mud or whatever. I'm not sure, but he got some. And he formed the body of the man, the first man. And then he breathed into that man the breath of life, and he became what? A living soul, the Bible says. And then on that same day, he put Eve to sleep and removed the rib. And removed that rib, and he barbecued. I mean, he made a woman, a beautiful woman out of that rib, and presented her to Adam, and they became husband and wife. God did it, and God did it his way. That's what the scripture teaches, and that's what God's people must believe. We must not be snookered by these people just because they call themselves scientists. We must not be snookered. We must not make the word of God align with the secular point of view. Instead, excuse me. Instead, we must make the world and everything in it come up to what the Word of God teaches. Let me ask you a question, and you answer me. Let me take a sip of water. The question I want to ask you is this. Who gave us the Word of God? Can I get an answer? God did. All right, God gave us the Word of God. So now let me ask you a second question. Who gave us creation? Oh, you mean the same person gave us both? So if he gave us the Word of God and he gave us creation, let me ask you a question. Is there going to be contradiction between the two? Wow, you just answered yourself. You're exactly right. You see, there can be no contradiction between the Word of God and creation because God did both. He gave us the Word of God and He gave us creation, and therefore He is not going to give you one thing in the Scriptures and another thing in creation. It's all going to come together because God did both. And God is not the author of what? Confusion. God is not the author of contradiction. You see, the Word of God and creation have got to jive together, not contradict one another. And so these people who teach in so-called Christian schools and who teach in churches that there's a long period of separation in the creation from the time that God first put matter together and started making the earth to the time He finally gave us Adam and Eve. It was billions and millions of years, and He used the process of evolution to do it. Those people don't understand that God gave us His Word and God gave us creation. And there can't be a contradiction. And if you believe what I just said, you are contradicting God's Word and His creation. And what we saw last week was this. We've got to connect back together with creation and our Creator as Christians. And we do it We saw two ways last week. And I'm going to sum up the last one. The first one was, we must simply acknowledge and declare what the Word of God teaches about creation. It teaches that God is our Creator. It teaches that God created our world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We must take God's Word for what it says. We must acknowledge that and declare it. And not let the secular worldview win out in our churches and in our Christian schools and in our homes and in our country. As Christians, we must be willing to acknowledge and teach what the Word of God teaches. The second thing that we said last week was not only will we reconnect with our creation and our Creator by acknowledging and declaring what the Word of God teaches about creation, but we said secondly, we must reject the long period of separation point of view about creation. Now let me just remind you that there are two ways, and that's what I said last week, but let me remind you, there are two ways in which certain churches and certain Christian schools teach that we can incorporate the millions and millions of years of evolution into what the Bible teaches. And what they teach and say is that between Genesis verse 1 of chapter 1 and Genesis verse 2 of chapter 1, there is a long gap between those two verses of millions and billions of years. It's called the gap theory. But there's a problem with that. The only reason why they teach that is so that they can go along with the scientists of the world that says everything's millions and billions of years old. Everything evolved, so somehow we've got to make that part of our Christian worldview. So we say there were millions of years between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. There was an initial creation, and it got all messed up between verses 1 and 2. And then beginning with verse 3, God recreates the whole world again in 6 24-hour days. It can't be. And I'll tell you why in just a second. The second point of view that tries to incorporate millions and billions of years in a Christian worldview is to take each day of creation and say it's not a 24-hour day, but each day represents millions and millions of years. So what they're trying to do is to compromise and say, okay, we want to get along with the scientists of the day. We want to get along with them. But we also want to agree with the Bible, so let's find a way to make both work together. So here's what we'll do. We'll find a way to put millions and millions of years and evolution in the Bible story. But folks, it won't work. And I gave you four reasons why that won't work last week. Number one, I told you that it won't work because each day in Genesis chapter 1 of creation is joined together by a conjunction, the word and therefore there cannot be long periods of time between each day. They are joined together by a conjunction. Number two, each day has a morning and an evening, and that is to signify that these are 24-hour days, just like you and I, with a morning and an evening. Number three, we said that God told the nation of Israel to design their week schedule just exactly the way He did creation week. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, He said, you are to work 6 days, just like I created the world in 6 days, and then you are to rest on the Sabbath. That right there does not allow for millions and millions of years, because he said do it exactly the way he did it. And then fourth, we said this. We said that it was not long periods of time, because in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus, as he was approached by the Pharisees and asked a question about divorce and should divorce be allowed for any and every reason, and he says, wait a minute. He says, no, it should not be. Because he said, here's how it was in the beginning when God made them male and female. So what he said was this, that God, I'm sorry, that God made them male and female. When? When did he make them male and female? Tell me. In the beginning. What does verse 1 of the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Jesus said, in that beginning period of time, God also created Adam and Eve. Just 5 days later, after the first day. They're not means of years of separation. He created Adam and Eve in the beginning. You say, well, what, I don't understand what that means. It means this. You see, evolution teaches that from the little amoeba single cell that floated around in dirty, muddy, swampy, warm water that swam to the side, you heard me tell that story, that swam to the side of the pond and bumped into the edge, the side of the pond, and wanted to get out. It laid there long enough until it grew legs over millions of years. Then it walked out and bumped into a tree and wanted to climb the tree and leaned against that tree until another million years it grew arms, evolving over time till it could climb the tree. And as I told you last week, I'm not sure when they finally got their heads. You see, that's what evolution teaches. You don't have Adam and Eve until after millions and millions of years of evolving from one creature to another creature till you finally get the ape, until from the ape to the human, there are several humanoid creature, cave-like creatures we talked about that kept getting more human, and finally, boom, one day, they finally got to the place where they are like we are, and then Adam and Eve came about. God says no. Jesus, the Son of God, said no. Adam and Eve was created when? In the beginning, not millions and millions of years later. Now I want to close with this last point. I didn't bring this up last week, but this is extremely important. And my last point is this. There cannot be long periods of separation in our creation, last of all because of this. Not according to the Word of God. And God made the Word of God and God made creation. So they have to agree together. Listen to me. Here's what God said. I want you to take your Bibles, and I shared this Sunday night, but I want to share it with you. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 5. It won't take me but a minute to close this out. Romans chapter 5. First of all, as you go to Romans chapter 5, let me read from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I want to start reading with verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely what? Die. All right, now go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And listen to what that teaches. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Now here's what I want to close this message out with. You do not have a creation that's millions and billions of years ago. You cannot have a creation where we evolved, where God started the process of evolution, and then over millions of years we evolved until finally you get a full set of human beings beginning with Adam and Eve, who became the first humans who were as we are. And here's why not. Because you do, if you believe that, you put the cart before the horse. And here's what I mean. When did death come into the world? Tell me. When? After Adam and Eve did what? They sinned. After Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. So what does that teach us? That teaches us that there can be no death before Adam and Eve sin. You say, all right, now come on, preacher, help me to understand what you're trying to teach us. Here it simply is this. You cannot have things dying before Adam and Eve came about. Now, are you with me? You see, if you accept the theory and the teaching of evolution, which says that the strong survived, but those that weren't strong, they died out. And those that survived, they kept growing and getting better and better until finally they evolved into what we had. And so here's what you have. Listen to me. This is extremely important. Here's what you have. Evolution, if you accept it and you try to compromise with it and you try to involve it in our view of Scripture, what you have is you have millions of things dying before Adam and Eve are even created. You can't have that. Because there was no death until after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were the last part of creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get the message? So here's what I want you to understand. The world, Darwin, evolution, got it all wrong. God gave us the Word of God, and God gave us creation, and the two must agree together. And you cannot have death before you have Adam and Eve, because death did not come until after Adam and Eve sinned. And so, you cannot buy and accept the theory of evolution and jive it together with the Word of God. You see, folks, we're God's people. We must accept God's Word. And we must accept what it teaches before anything else. And then we must understand that when you accept it, you'll find out that everything else jives with it. Because the evidence in creation will also agree with the teaching of Scripture. There are no evidence, hardly any evidence, that truly teaches Darwin's theory of evolution. You see, all of that was created by the devil to take our hearts and minds away from our true Creator. You stick with the Bible and you stick with the evidence in creation, and what you'll find is that we came about by God, our Creator. And we belong to Him. And our commitment must be to Him and His teachings and His guidance and His will for our life. And anything short of that will fall short of the true teaching of the Word of God. So what is my invitation to you? My invitation is to you and to me. Let's get back to the true creation. Let's get back to our Creator. And let's begin to follow Him, trust Him, and accept Him as the only way. Let's get back to the fact that if God is Creator, then that means everything else must fall in line with His purpose and His will. Next week, I will finish this series out by talking specifically about why God created the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bless you and praise you and thank you that as Christians, we have wisdom a step above the rest of the world. When those who call themselves intellectual giants have rejected the biblical view of creation, they just show what the Bible says, that they are fools. For the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're not intelligent. They've gone just the opposite. Because in your wisdom, you have told us that this world didn't come about by accident, nor by slow process of gradual evolving, but this world came about by your creative power and your wisdom. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, dear Father. The evidence point to you. Forgive us as churches and Christian schools and the people of God that we've given in to these people. Help us, Lord, to declare our allegiance to you and to the fact that you create us, and therefore we're responsible to you. And thank you that that wisdom and knowledge teaches us what the world doesn't have, that we can see the truth and know it's all going to work out because you are in control. Lord, we love you. Have your will and your way in this invitation. And we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. I know you're thinking, what do I need to come forward for? Well, whatever God's leading you to come forward for. He's the Creator. He created you. You're not an accident. You didn't evolve. God created you. Do what He wants you to do. As we stand and as we sing.
Hymn number 312.
You come.
Softly and tenderly. 312. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
And God's people said, amen. Well, we're going to have our closing prayer, and as Fred comes to lead us, we will have, by the way, let me just remind the church council, we will be meeting afterwards for working on the calendars for this year. So we will meet, we'll just come into my office, and we'll meet in there for the time being. If we need to move somewhere else, we'll move somewhere else. And then tonight, 6 o'clock, we have a time of Bible study and praying and rejoicing. Come and be a part of that. Wednesday night, supper and Bible study for all ages at 7 o'clock. Come on out and be a part of that as well. All right? You have a great day in Jesus, and Fred will lead us in prayer. There's so much that we've mentioned to pray about. Do not stop praying about these matters. Lift these folks up to Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for your awesome power. We just pray that you'll be with each and every person here. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with us. Bring us back to the next point of time. All this in Jesus' precious name.